Chapter 4. That evening, Silas had gone to take some linen to Mrs. Lammeter's house. The fog was thick, and it had started to rain as he was walking home. By the time he got back to his cottage, he was cold, wet, and tired. Silas sat by the fire, glad of the warmth. The long hours of work were over, and now was the best time of his day. The time when he ate his supper and counted his money. Silas removed the bricks from the floor, but the hole was empty. He began to tremble violently. Desperately, he searched the hole again and again. He searched the entire cottage, but his gold was nowhere to be found. He ran out of his cottage and down the lane to the village in the rain. The village men would all be at the Rainbow now, drinking beer and laughing together. He would go to the Rainbow and tell them all that he had been robbed. The company at the Rainbow that evening was very merry. A great fire was blazing in the fireplace, and the air was warm and smoky. Jem Rodney was there, and old Mr. Macy, the tailor and parish clerk too, Ben Winthrop the wheelwright, Oates the cobbler, Bryce the horse dealer, and many others. They were drinking beer, telling jokes and laughing, when the door burst open and there stood Silas Marner, soaking wet, trembling, and as white as a ghost.
"I've been robbed,"
cried Silas to the astonished crowd.
"My gold is gone. Someone has taken it. I need the policeman and the judge."
"Calm down now, Master Marner,"
said Mr. Snell, the landlord, coming out from behind the bar to take Silas's arm.
"Come and sit by the fire and tell us what happened."
Silas sat down and told his story. The company asked him many questions as the mysterious nature of the robbery became apparent. They shook their heads in sympathy at his distress. Some were of the opinion that the devil had stolen Silas's gold, but others said that it was just some stranger passing through. Finally, they put on their coats and took Silas to find the policeman and to tell the judge all about it. The next day, the whole village was talking about the robbery. Everyone went up to Silas's cottage and searched the area for clues. The rain had washed away any footprints, but they found a tinder box in the mud near the abandoned quarry. Mr. Snell said that he had seen a travelling peddler with a tinder box passing through the village the day before. The peddler must have stolen Silas's gold. But Mr. Macy shook his head and said, no, this was much more mysterious than an ordinary robbery. Later, in the Rainbow, two camps of opinion formed. Members of the Peddler and Tinderbox camp, headed by Mr. Snell, were convinced that the stranger was the thief. But members of the Supernatural camp, headed by Mr. Macy, argued that God had caused the gold to vanish in order to punish Silas for loving gold too much. The two camps were involved in an animated argument when Godfrey came into the Rainbow. He was worried about Dunstan and Wildfire. Dunstan had not returned home the previous night, and Godfrey was afraid that his brother had sold the horse and gone off to spend the money on gambling and drink. Looking around the faces in the Rainbow, Godfrey saw Bryce the horse dealer.
"Hello, Mr. Bryce. Have you seen my brother Dunstan?"
"Yes, indeed,"
said Bryce.
"I saw him yesterday. What an unfortunate fellow he is."
"What do you mean?" asked Godfrey.
"Did he not tell you?"
Mr. Bryce told Godfrey all about the accident and Wildfire's death. Godfrey left the Rainbow even more worried than he had been when he arrived. Now there was no way he could find £100 to pay his father. It seemed to him that he would have to confess everything. Now his father would be furious with him, and Nancy Lammeter would never marry him. Before, He had hoped that one day his wife Molly would take too much opium and die, leaving him free to marry Nancy. Then no one would ever know about his secret past. But now he would have to tell his father, and his father would tell Mr. Lameter, and he, Godfrey, would lose everything.